Ladies and gentlemen, today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. Please ensure your mute function is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We'll take questions in the order received, and we will take as many as time permits. If you find your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star two. Again, please press star one to ask your question. Our first question today comes from Michael Schaefer with Equinet. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Two questions, if I may. The first one is on robotics. On your gross margin, you're showing here another 4 percentage points decrease quarter-over-quarter, despite a major cut in temp workers. Could you just provide a bit of picture here of what's going on in this business currently about price pressure? Where do you see any signs of potential recovery of the gross margin going forward in upcoming quarters? And the second would be on your comments on advanced payments. Could you just give us, unfortunately we don't have balance sheet available yet here, but could you give us a kind of picture what's going on in terms of advanced payments? We have seen very strong free cash flow statements from the automotive industry. So are you basically taking the burden from them? So this would be my two questions. Thanks.
Okay, the first question concerning the robotics, as you mentioned, we had now the reduction in the gross margin, especially in the robotics side, another 4%. Well, there are, I think, two important issues concerning the gross margin in the robotics business. The one is the economies of scale. This is one impact concerning the degradation of the fixed costs in the gross margin, but this is for sure already was an issue in the second quarter. However, what you also have to take into account when you think about the situation for the robotics manufacturers, especially in Japan, this applies to Fanuc and Yaskawa Motoman especially, but also partly to ABB. We have some price pressure currently in the automotive industry because these are the big tickets. And for sure, there is now everybody is fighting then for these orders because they need to load their facilities, and this is somewhat an issue which also then influences the gross margin in the robotics business due to the current situation. What we expect in the fourth quarter is simply that we have then more contribution on the sales from the general industries, which then also should recover some of the gross margin issues. But the main improvement of the gross margin for robotics we expected from 2010 on, when we also adjust the cost base, because today all the measures to with our cost savings program are not full year impact, have no full year impact. They partly only run then for 3 to 6 months, so they do not show up with the full potential in the P&L. So I see some recovery in the fourth quarter, and I would say especially in 2010, we should also then recover the margin dip we currently face in the robotics business, also with the 4% decline you mentioned. The second question was concerning the down payments. As you mentioned, we have no balance sheet yet. Currently, the POC receivables in the second quarter moved from 144 million down now to 118.9 million, but also then the advance payments from customers moved down from 48.7 to 42 million euros. As you mentioned, the car manufacturers, the OEM, have shown strong balance sheets due to the changes on their side concerning the payment terms. However, this is something, I would say, an impact on the balance sheet structure. We not only have seen at KUKA now in the third quarter, I think this is now for the full year, and I do not expect major shake-ups in the balance sheet in the third quarter and in the fourth quarter concerning this issue, because it's a known issue which not only has impacted the balance sheet in the third quarter.
Okay, thanks.
Welcome.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from Stefan Klepp with Berenberg Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Mr. Reuter. Hi, Mr. Schulak. Stefan Klepp, Berenberg Bank. I have plenty of questions here on my paper. Probably we go directly into it. KTPO, what are you going to do with KTPO? Former management was saying that they renegotiated with the new Chrysler entity, and they have agreed to penalty payments. So what are you going to do with KTPO and the book value of KTPO? Second question, treasury shares. KUKA owns still 5.something percent of their own shares. Are you going to dispose them to have the cash from it? I think you need it in those times. Then, thirdly, looking into the robotics again and looking into the framework agreement that ABB won with BMW, one of your key customers so far, is it really easy to go back to 10% margin in 2010 when the automotive robots output is going to be significantly lower in my assumption, and here the economies of scale are given? And fourthly, from the potential reorganization process, you're saying that we should see a group margin of 6-7% in 2011, roughly, if I take the 5 for systems and 10 for robotics. So definitely 2010 is going to be a transition year. What can we expect from that, so to speak? And how far are you with the management hirings that you've been talking about? Thank you.
Okay. Let me start. First on KTPO. I think KTPO... there are no adjustments on the conditions with the Chrysler contract, so it's still a contract in place which is very in favor of KUKA. And if you look at the, if you see the numbers here, which is coming from KTPO, that is really one of the good assets which we as KUKA have currently in the U.S. You know, U.S. Labor market is much more flexible, and KTPO is here EBIT contributor for the time. On the book value, I don't know what we have shown here, but the book value is clearly...
The book value, I would say, is really safe concerning then also the net present value of this company, so there is no issue with the net book value. And the only question maybe what to do with KTPO, as Till said, it's a profitable business, and as long as we're free on decisions, we should keep profitable business.
Mm. And the Jeep Wagner production, I think, is the only production of Jeep Wagner on a global basis. And if you look at the last year in general, when the whole market went down, the Wagner production went up. So I think we have a combination of a great product, Jeep Wrangler. We have a good contract for KUKA, which helps us also if the number's going down. So I think that's a good starting point for our discussion, if discussion would come.
Are you disclosing the EBIT contribution of the KTBO project? Former management didn't? Okay, thanks.
No.
I had to ask that question.
On the shares question disposal, I think what Stefan already mentioned is that we are in a discussion of the liability side of the balance sheet, and on this discussion with the banks, which is the whole refinancing concept, we have certain assets, which is, you know, the treasury shares and other topics, but we have to find a solution, and there the disposal of the treasury shares could be an option, but there currently we are still in the process of pros and cons, but we have clearly here an asset which is fungible. On the robotics side, we have also seen the ABB numbers, and just to be again, the 10% robotics was for 2011, not for 2010. I think what for the whole group is important that we see a break even for KUKA if we really get our programs through, and where we are bullish on is somewhere between 900 and 950 million for the whole group, which comes to the 6-7% for 2011 when we have the year 2010 as a transition year. We have to do our homework, we have to get our cost and the cost-cutting programs through, but at the same time having the products to be competitive, to have our R&D budget focused on the next generation of products, which we plan to go to the market. And I think one of the main driver of the margin will be also to get the new products to the market and to have the implementation. Here we are in close contact, or we are discussing this implementation with the R&D and the divisions heads, and we are convinced that we are we will push this, and we are discussing with the clients to get this new generation to the market. Mm-hmm. Last point on the management changes is clearly, as a chairman, I was asked to step up in the CEO role, whatever you want to see it. We are in discussion on a COO, and we can only give the view which we got from supervisory board. So supervisory board is in discussion with COO and CEO. The latest news I have from supervisory board is that we see the COO coming in December, and the CEO. There are certain discussions, and good candidates are in the process. We see for early 2010.
Okay, perfect.
I want to add one comment from my side concerning a question. How can robotics then achieve the margins when ABB is on this framework umbrella agreement?
Yep.
I think it's important to understand that, especially with the OEMs, there are big tickets. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. And we know we have three strong competitors with ABB, Fanuc, and this Carlo Motoman. Therefore, we know it's a healthy challenge in this marketplace today. It's always a situation that KUKA has not all the business of the big OEMs. So ABB has announced that they have won BMW. For them it was important, yes, I know. But the next fight will continue and will come, and then maybe we see who the winner is then. I think important is for us to understand that the margin potential of KUKA Robotics is not depending on the BMW business. We have larger OEMs which are very important, and tier ones also for the overall units which you can sell. And we must not forget that we want to increase the general industries business. There is structurally a higher margin potential than in the automotive industry for the robotics division.
Okay, perfect. Thanks a lot for your explanation.
Thank you. Our next question today comes from Bastian Zinnergewitz with Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Bastian Zinnergewitz from Deutsche Bank. Actually, four questions from my side, and the first one is again on your targets. You recommitted to the margin targets of 5 and 10% for systems and robotics by 2011 already, and that's actually quite ambitious objects. So what is the revenue corridor which you would require to be able to achieve this level, and how much price erosion did you assume for the break-even point of 900 to 950 million? The second one is again on your R&D budget, and here, as you already mentioned, we can understand optimization of R&D budget as cutting. How much juice do you really see in there, and what exactly do you plan to cut? Thirdly, on one of your charts, I saw that you indicated to plan some joint ventures and cooperations with regard to the area of advanced robotics. Maybe you could give us some more flavor on this. And finally, a more general question. There's quite a significant intersection with the old strategy, and of course we did not really, let's say, expect a reinvention of the business model, but what are really the incremental changes which we can expect you to bring to this company? Thanks.
Okay, so I have only three questions, but we missed one, but this we can okay. Concerning the targets, 5 and 10% by 2011, your question was concerning the volume on the one side, but also the anticipated price erosion. So the price erosion we anticipated is in the range of 3.25% on an annual basis, the price erosion structural in the market. And today, at least for this model, the required volumes from a sales side, when you also recall then the break-even model, which still mentioned between 100 and 950, for sure it should then also be in the range of the 900 roundabout, and therefore we see that for this EBIT targets, we at least should see revenues exceeding 1.1 billion. The other questions I thought, Till, that you address.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Yeah, thank you. The next question was on the R&D budget, where you see we all believe that we have to focus the budget. I think then the numbers in the past were between 70, 35 and 40 million on the R&D budget. And What I want to reemphasize that we are now here for the first 3 to 4 weeks, and that we want to come up with a defined strategy in December, and where we can go in detail on which part belongs to which part. I think in R&D, one message is very important. In R&D, we have clearly R&D expenses which have to go in the industrial robots, which is automotive and other parts, and we have other parts in the R&D budget which belong more to the advanced robotics. And the first step here we are taking, we already took, is to have clarity which R&D is required to run the standard automotive general industry business, what is required for the new generation of products, what is required for applications for customers and clients, and what are minor assumptions and what's required for the lightweight robot. Besides this development, we have this in the portfolio and the R&D budget certain advanced topics. And we have to, the first step was to have these two groups. And while the first group is clearly a group which is most important for KUKA, the other group of advanced topics, we have to see how they fit to KUKA and who are the right partners. And they are coming exactly to the next question you mentioned. If you, for example, look in one important part of advanced robotics at the medtech robots, and then if you lean back and think about what are the know-how of KUKA in robotics, it's clearly the hardware, the software, the service, and maybe some other parts. But if we look at the medtech robot, there's certain instruments required, there's training required, and also there is required that you have a right distribution platform to deliver the robots to the hospitals or to someone who is a system partner to put all things together. I think on this, I also mentioned the topic joint venture or partners, that for advanced robotics we have certain parts of a successful story, but we have to buy in or to partner to have the whole robot story in the medtech application a successful story, and that's something where we also come up in December, that we can show a roadmap. If just as a partner's example, it could be a partner as simple as a financing guy who gives us money to further develop the product, but could be also that we have a partner in for the instruments, which is, for example, Wolf or Strunz. Could be a partner for distribution, named there are Siemens, GE, or Philips. So key is here, we do have an asset, which is comparable to a company in the U.S. I don't want to talk too much about this company because we have to first get our really strategy down. But we come up with this structure for the advanced in December. On the which really changes compared to what happened before September, and that's something where we can also a little bit reflect on the history. Main topics which were which we didn't thought were handled well is, on the one hand, the implementation of the cost cutting programs. These were not fast enough, and we want to have KUKA being more flexible to adapt to economic cycle, that we having our cost structure in place and be positioned here. We want to focus R&D. We want to really have a clear picture of what's required for the next generation of products, and what's a must and what's a can. And that's something where we need clearance with the both divisions operationally, that we commit the teams and the client teams to really what do they need for the clients and what's only a can. And that's something we're working on. And then on the third one is that we really, if we have a lightweight robot, since 2003 at the annual report on page one, and we haven't seen any products launched with a client, that will change, and that we will change. And second and fourthly, the medical robot, we have this asset together with a DLR, which is an institute for robots. We have that asset, but we have not got our arms around, and we will also get our arms around this product that we as KUKA control and help to control this asset being developed to a product which is marketable.
Okay, that's been quite helpful. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank We will move now to Jasko Terzic with DZ Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, Jasko Terzic from the DZ Bank. I got also a couple of questions. First pertains to the restructuring. So my question is that you said at least 25 million of restructuring charges will be booked in 2009. So my question is, if you will have to accrue further charges, will this just only pertain to the layoff of further employees, or are there additional measures planned? In that light, I have also a question with respect to the savings, because according to Reuters, you mentioned that you are trying hard to exceed the 70 million target. So will this only be derived by the layoff of further employees, or are there still additional measures to be expected? The next question pertains to the target for 2011. So can you give us a feeling of the revenue split between the general industry and the automotive industry we might expect to see? And the final question pertains the strategy in terms of the financing structure. So could you give us a feeling of the gearing targets or the equity ratio targets you are targeting for 2010?
Well, I will start, and this is my answer to your question concerning the restructuring, which you mentioned at least 25 million. This is only personnel, potential other measures. Well, mainly it's a question then of measures related to the headcounts, which then would be considered as a restructuring charge. But also is what something board is currently doing is to go through the assets and also the asset values, that we have to make sure that the asset values are all at fair value. But the main open issue for us, why we have mentioned that it could exceed 25 million, is mainly the headcount. For understanding, we have a voluntary leave program. And so you also depend on the other party when negotiating whether you are successful or not. For sure, that the best solution for the company would be that the sooner the possible we have these negotiations and also the contracts closed. And when we talk about our expectations, remarkably above 100 people this year, and remarkably above 100 next year out of this program in the Augsburg facilities. If we can achieve more than 100 this year and get close to our overall target, this would lead to higher restructuring charges this year, and this is the main reason behind this restructuring charge and the opening sentence to say it could be more. Concerning the savings, where you also mentioned in Reuters to exceed the 70 million, we have to be careful. So the issue for us is that we have a 70 million program which ran up now to 45 million in 2009 so far. And the underlying structural savings out of the 70 million are in the range of round about only half of it, 35. So 35 million of the 70 million will reoccur also in 2010. The other 35 million are more or less one-time impact, which you cannot write forward into the next year. So we have to find further cost savings next year, and what we want to achieve, and this is the main message, is for 2010, we want to at least have again the 70 million, and our target is to exceed the 70 million, but this goes then also in cost structure issues, and here mainly processes, behind processes you have complexity costs, you have headcount costs, and also the whole big issue of material costs, especially in the systems business, but also in the robotics business. We have a high material quote in our cost structure, and there we have to do some structural things, which for sure will not show positive impact now in 2009, but have to show significant impact in 2010. And this is the explanation. What does it mean, greater than 70? We have only a limited time frame remaining in 2009 to adjust targets, but we have to set the targets for 2010, and there clearly the target is 70 plus. Concerning targets 2011, split between automotive, general industry, it's today too early to say which split we have as underlying assumption for this model. So at least for today you can take that mainly with the existing split, we want to re-engage this profitability until 2011. And the increasing business of general industries is not a main driver of this way back to this profitability. So if then the product mix or the market mix or the GI is significantly towards GI, this would be then an incremental opportunity for the EBIT margin. Concerning the strategy and gearing targets and so on, well, basically, there is not yet defined a clear target concerning the equity or the gearing. The only thing we are today discussing is really between long-term and short-term financing components. But concerning then the gearing, we want to figure out really what is in the long run the best for KUKA concerning then the gearing ratio. And I'm pretty sure that when we want to position KUKA more in the future as a technology company, we're potentially talking about a lower gearing ratio than a normal, ordinary automotive supplier would have. But it's too early today to discuss this further.
Okay, so maybe one follow-up. How comfortable are you with the current gearing and equity ratio?
Well, I would say there is room for improvement.
Okay, thanks.
Welcome.
Thank you. Your next question today comes from Thomas Rau with MM Warburg. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thomas Rau from MM Warburg. Two questions, please. First of all, again, on the cost cuttings. Well, could you please elaborate a little bit more in detail which cost cuttings are necessary in order to achieve the margin targets you have set? For systems and robotics respectively, and if you could probably go in this context also a little bit more in detail about your break-even points you have currently in robotics and also in systems and where are you going to. And the second question is on your holding costs you had in Q3. Well, holding costs amounted only to minus 0.9 million, despite the fact that you had some one-off costs included. Could you please elaborate on the change here? Thank you.
So can you please, the last question I have not got?
Well, the last question was your holding costs in Q3 amounted
okay, yeah, okay.
to 0.9
yeah,
million.
Okay, okay. Oh, I got it. Okay, basically concerning the cost cutting. Well, the question is which cost cutting success do we need to achieve mainly also then the target this year and especially the break-even model. Well, it's not sensible now to discuss here the different numbers in the different areas. I think for this year, especially in 2009, really the main part of the cost-cutting program is a one-time impact. As I said, half of the cost is one-time, and this is mainly, up to a certain high percentage, mainly related to headcount and payroll costs, especially one-time impact negotiations and agreements with the Works Council. How can we save costs for 2009? So these are no sustainable impacts which we can write forward to 2010. Also in 2009, this was mentioned also in the earlier discussions with the normal press. The 70 million, we have to distinguish between real cost savings which are which occur compared to our 2008 cost base, and cost savings which are compared to the budget we had 2009. I understand that former management also included savings which are compared to the budget. This does not help us and does not help you in your financial models because you don't know what the budget of the company was. Mm. The only thing we can tell you is that at least for 2009 we continue the program we have in place with the target to run up to 70 million, and for 2010 then the cost base reduction by sustainable 70 million, just rough numbers today, but no final numbers. I would say that round about 40 to 50 million potentially will come also from the materials and process optimization. However, behind the process optimization, there is also potentially a reduction of payroll costs, because you can take out people when you optimize the processes. And the other one is then simply adjusting the cost base due to headcount reduction, or also then shutdown of plants, for example, France, which is announced, and also then the programs we have in place here, and some further minor headcount reductions in the subsidiaries out in the world of KUKA. Concerning the break-even points, robotics and systems, it's difficult. It makes no sense to talk about the break-even points today, because the break-even analysis, especially in the year 2009, is really shaken up due to extraordinary impacts we have in the different P&Ls. But at least for 2010 and for the 2011 model, the break-even point between 100 and 950, we're talking around about the 350 million, 300 to 350 robots, and the range of 600 roundabout then for the systems concerning the revenue split there. The holding costs in Q3, this is simply an issue because sometimes you have charges which initially occur in the AG and then are charged back to the operating entities, and therefore you have then the funny situation that there is in the period a small mixture, because you have on the one side then the charges in the AG, and in the next quarter you have then the charges in the operations areas, but then also then the credit and the revenue in the AG. Important is that the total roundabout of the AG in the range of around about 8 million plus, and this is the important number you should use then for your full year models.
So maybe one follow-up. Is it true that the severance payments for the former executives, was it booked under the holding costs, or
yeah. Okay. Yeah, these are clearly the payments are booked, and also the P&L charge was booked in the AG, mm-hmm. and they are also already paid, mm-hmm. yeah, and therefore also then in the report for Q3 you will see that the restructuring accruals in the books is 13 million. This is simply due to the fact that we have some restructuring charges already paid out, and among others also the payment to the former members of the board.
Okay. Maybe one final thing. The minus 8 for the holding, is this also a number which we could use going forward?
I would say you should use it today. The 8 numbers, I would say it's more 8 plus. But when we have a clear picture also then for the model after all the restructuring charges and also after the process changes, we will give you an update. But today you should work with the 8 plus.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you. We'll move now to Sebastian Ubert with EBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, gentlemen. A few questions left over still. With regards to your renegotiations with the banks and the refinancing of KUKA, are you just talking about that syndicated loan, or does that also include that close to 70 million debt from your convertible bond, which is due in 2011? That is my first question. With regards to the automotive industry and the huge overcapacities there and the trend towards more flexibility with the OEMs producing several models on the same systems and reusing old components for the second model cycle, how do you want to achieve increasing sales in the systems division there? That would be my second question. Thank you.
Okay, the first question concerning renegotiation, well, primarily the current negotiations with the banks are dealing with the senior facilities agreement. However, in the whole context, it's the total future target structure of the liability side of KUKA. And when we talk about this target structure in the long run, this includes also then how we consider also then the convertible bond being due for repayment in November 11. So the main issue with the banks is the senior facilities agreement. This has to be renegotiated. However, there are some recommendations and also some requirements concerning the engagement of the banks into the new SFA, that we also show them how we refinance then also the convertible bond. It's not necessary that we have to solve it today, but we have to show the clear way and the clear path how to do it.
Okay, on the automotive side, the topics you mentioned are clearly right, and we have to, together with the colleagues in the systems business, we're working on the future business model of the body in white business. But there, I think key is on the one hand, what is the strength of KUKA, and why are we leader in automotive in Europe? And then building up on this, what could be new markets? I think it's the competition is strong in body in white, and we have our position, have to get our clients here, and have to have the right contracts. But on the other hand, is for example in final assembly, what has been achieved here in the past in final assembly, and how fast can we introduce, for example, the lightweight robot in final assembly, because that's a market which should be in ranges in the 3-digit million. So that's exactly where we want to come back to you in December, that we can show you where the automotive business is positioned today, what are the strengths of the automotive business, and how do we want to grow. I think not on the high level like general industry, but what are the ideas for automotive, and that's clearly where you're getting answers from us.
Okay, thank you. Then a follow-up question with regards to the 3-digit euro million. Can you also elaborate a bit on the synergies Grant Zebach has mentioned when they initially took over a stake in KUKA to achieve 100 million plus additional revenues by 2012, the latest? And then with regards to your structure, what is your target revenue split between automotive and general industry in the long term? Many thanks.
First of all, this final assembly number was a number which was which we discussed in the supervisory board, where we believe the market is a huge market, and we're coming back on this latest in December. Then on the discussion with Krenzebach, it's history now. Since 1st of October, I have a clear picture and a clear vision for KUKA, and just can explain what the thoughts were. There are two main topics where Krenzebach and KUKA we're working or are working together in the history, but also have discussions now. One is in the solar industry, where KUKA is and where Krenzberg, and then also where Rice is, and the discussion is how to work or how to be positioned at the market. Does it make sense to work together here? That the discussions were how to position, what's the business plan for both companies, and where do we get the best out of for KUKA. Second part besides the solar business was a discussion on baggage handling. Baggage handling is an application of the robots, which is where KUKA could be a system partner for the whole airport landscape. Krenzbach does have, I think it's 6 cells, which translate into 20 robots in Schiphol in the airport, where the whole baggage handling is done automatically. And the airport business is very digital. Either you're getting all the contracts or you are out. But what we hear from Gansbach is very promising, because it's on the one hand the baggage handling, it's a safety argument, because this business is mainly done by blue collar workers, and then it's something also on health, because the typical, like, the 20 kilo plus baggage have to be handled by people, which is the health aspect. So that's the market where we have to, as KUKA, look in and see where our opportunities are, and if we wanted to, together with Krenzberg, develop this market further. But it's not the automotive or general industry market, so it's one where you have to clearly understand in the advanced market what's the business plan and what's behind it.
Okay, thank you very much. One last question, if I may, on your non-core businesses such as KWS and LSW. What are your plans with such businesses? Thank you.
At KWS, and the person I was visiting them 10 days ago, they're really, I think they have flexibilized their structures very early on, and it's a company where I think it's compared to other parts, is they really are positioned for the future and are working on a turnaround and have the right contract. So that's a company which is well positioned. We are screening the whole landscape, which means we're screening PRAME, we're screening HLS, but there's nothing yet done, and I think it's fair for us to have a look into this until the end of the year, until December, and then to and it also depends very much on the business plan of the single parts, for example, PRAME, aerospace, and powertrain. How do we want to position here? What could be potential partners? And they'll be coming back in December.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We'll move now to Richard Schramm with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Richard Schramm, HSBC. Your predecessors had indicated that the capacity reduction in the headcount might be going on in 2010 in the area of maybe 250, 500 people. So clearly beyond the number you have just mentioned, should we expect that when you have finished your review of the business and structures that additional measures come up which could lead to additional one-off charges also in 2010 beyond the charge for 100 people you have indicated? And second point, the pressure on your cash flow was obviously also due to the massive reduction in freight payables we have seen, which have halved in the first 9 months. What do you expect to turn around this trend? Do you think that stabilizing your financials could help here to come back to more normal figures again? Thank you.
Okay, and concerning the first question, capacity reduction, this is also I refer to the statements I have made today in the morning. Today, the target is significantly above 100 people in the year 2009, the remainder, and further another at least 100 in 2010. So this is today what we see based on our current expectations, how we see the next periods and the market development which we are in. Beyond that, we can say nothing today what would be then also necessary or maybe can be necessary based on redesign of processes and so on. So at least for today, it's 100 at least this year and at least 100 next year. More we cannot say today concerning this issue. The next one is concerning pressure on cash flow, especially trade payables. I wouldn't say pressure, but it's for sure also pressure on the trade payables on the one hand. On the other hand, when you look into the balance of trade payables end of 2008, I think we all know that this was no typical level of trade payables we have seen at the end of year 2008. So for 2009 and also structurally looking forward, it's not only the question how we can use the trade payables as refinancing position for the working capital. The issue is also to be intelligent in the sourcing of materials and so on. And it's not only the issue that we take the materials always on our books. We have to be more flexible also concerning consignation programs where we also to take the materials also later on our books. But for sure, when we have then a clear solution, a long-term solution for our financing structure, it still it for sure also helps us because some instruments reopen then for us to have financing ideas on the working capital, which is potentially not available today. That's true.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question today comes from Peter Metzger with Oppenheim. Please go ahead.
Yes, gentlemen. It's Peter Metzger from Oppenheim Research. I would like to come back to the cooperation between Grenzebach and KUKA, and I must say that to me this still does not convincingly explain why Grenzebach has actually taken over a more than 25% shareholding in KUKA. Mr. Reuter, can you be so kind as to explain in more detail what the rationale is behind Grenzebach's purchase of that stake? Thank you.
Now you asked me a question which won't answer as CEO, but maybe as a Grenzebach or as a past Grenzebach representative. And to be clear, my agreement with Grenzebach has ended September 30. So just to be here from a corporate governance perspective, sober and clean, I can just give you my thoughts from the past, but I cannot tell what their thinking is today. Grenzebach is a diversified company already today, and Grenzebach, and if you look at page 10 on the chart, that was a clear starting point for the discussion at Grenzebach. The development of KUKA from today, from automotive, like 75% to 80% dependency on automotive, and that's getting to 50% auto and general industry. The clear value upside for Grenzebach in KUKA, and Grenzebach is a long-term investor with no defined exit, so it's a strategic investment from a neighbor in KUKA. Long-term, no exit, clear belief in the strategic development of KUKA that we can increase the share price from 10 to 11 to 25 and beyond from a Grenzebach perspective. Now, don't quote me on this as CEO, but just for Grenzebach, that we believe that KUKA has the potential to really drive the new markets besides automotive. The cooperation between Grenzebach and KUKA, which were on the one hand solar, on the other hand the baggage handling, were parts which where KUKA was a system partner for KUKA. And as you know, the business with the two pillars were systems and robotics. Robot is a pure product business, and system is a project business. And KUKA has always to choose who is the right system partner or a strategic partner, because in automotive, it's clearly KUKA themselves. So the robots go into systems, and then it went to the OEMs and getting into the production plants. On other applications, the question for systems and for robots is then to ask themselves, should we establish our own system partner, or should we participate in other partners, or should we really have an outside system partner who is then closer to the customer? And if you look back to Grenzebach, Grenzebach is a handling of glass, and where Grenzebach is a system partner for KUKA in the glass business. So it's the Grenzebach discussion is focus one was KUKA growing on its own, and secondly securing KUKA as a system partner for future application, for example in solar and in other applications which come out of discussion with Grenzebach or which are in the Grenzebach enterprise.
Thank you.
Does it help you, or is it still?
Yeah, it does. Thanks.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question today, please signal by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. We'll move now to Harald Ramed with LBBW. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. This is Harald Ramed from LBBW. Just some points which I want to clarify. If I get it right, a capital increase is still an option, but not in the next couple of months. Is this assumption right?
Well, to clarify this question, the capital increase is one of the options, and it's not said, not to understand that this is nothing which occurs only after March. So if the capital increase is an option, this could occur very quickly, but it's still simply too early to tell you something because there is no final decision yet made.
But it's directly linked to financing a negotiation.
If a capital increase is performed, then for sure it's then part of the total structure, yeah.
Okay, and the second point I want to clarify regarding R&D budget of 35 to 40 million, there was a lot talking about innovations. So what at the end of the day, Is this budget sufficient for the strategy, or is it too high or too low? So what should we expect for the next years to come?
That's a very good question. And the R&D budget for the past was 40 million, which is more than 10% of the sales of the robot business, which is around 400. So we are, compared to others like ABB, we are really on the high end. On the R&D budget, as I mentioned before, we have to have transparency today what is required for the various customers. So on the one hand, we have the automotive customers, which are the main part of the business currently, and we have to get the next generation of products to be competitive from a cost perspective and also from a know-how perspective. This is clearly a must budget. Then we are talking about the lightweight robot, which is clear also a technology. It's really new. It's not marketable today, so we are still on the execution here to get this to the market. It's clearly a topic where we want to focus on and where the main clients and customers want to do business with us. Then we do have a couple of applications for clients which are in the R&D budget because clients will pay for the applications, will pay for the developments, and therefore, if it's for us balanced, so we don't have any expense, that is, I think, for per se fine, but which is not a burden on the R&D budget. Then, on top of this, we have applications which won't come to market in 2012, 13, or 14, but might need another 5 to 6 years or even longer. There is one topic which is in the long run. This is called mirror search, where you have robots doing the operations and really advanced operations going to the heart operation. But for this development, we have an endpoint which is the most sophisticated operation at heart. But on the way to this operation, we have certain products which are much earlier ready and marketable. That's a one-arm lightweight robot, a two-arm. So for us, key now is to go to the budget again, which we have done already in the first 3 weeks, define the various parts of the budget, and then come back to you on a strategy on the standard products, on the application for the customers, but also on the more sophisticated, advanced parts of the R&D budget. And key is here to focus on the first ones, but also to develop the other ones even on a standalone basis or with partners. And that's very much depending on the financing. How much do we think it should be financed from an outside, that KUKA controls the asset but gets some extra financing from the outside? That's something where we see what's our know-how and what also we need to get the product marketable as soon as possible.
So at the end, it's for the moment being, we will stay on this level, but it depends for the future on how what you can afford and where do you think it's necessary to have know-how or to go with partners.
I wasn't clear enough. I think we have to go down. We have to find a new level which covers the robot sales, which is mirrors, or which fits to the robot business. And everything which doesn't fit to the robot business, we have to put into advanced. Oh. And advanced is more or less it's somewhat general R&D, but also more sophisticated. And I think this product we can develop if we either getting external financing or we are so convinced that customers pay us for this development, and that will be really separation that we do this focus. And in the consequence, as you mentioned, if we don't have financing, if we don't have clients who pay for it in the end, we will stop it.
Okay.
And then the R&D budget will be, we will have the general R&D budget lower, and then on the advanced we will decide on the case by case and on external financing side if we can progress or if we maybe have to delay for 1 year or what are the options. But that's That's one of the major topics which will come up in December.
Okay, fine. And last question from my side concerning restructuring costs or this voluntary program. You expect to lay off 100 people for 2010. Are these costs already in the balance sheet or in the P&L for 2009? Or should we expect further restructuring costs in 2010?
Well, especially when we talk about such voluntary programs, it's also then a restricted regulation what you can accrue for. So as I said, we target for 100 plus this year, 100 plus next year. And the 100 plus this year and also 100 plus next year mainly are still not in the accruals because we have to have the individual agreements. This means basically it depends on the status we have at the end of December 2009, which accruals are still expected to come, but then we will guide you when the time has come. But yet in the third quarter numbers concerning these initiatives, the accruals are not in the books yet.
Mm. So and if you are do not find enough people on voluntary base, we will see a kind of a social plan.
Then we'll take it from there and try what we can do to help the people understand why this is very important for all of us and KUKA.
Mm.
But just to come back to the first slide I mentioned, we are currently in a position where we have a stable structure in supervisory board where we where all 12 members know what we have to take to get KUKA flexible and to be adopting to the economic to the economy how it currently is, and therefore I think we will do the utmost here to get it by the voluntary program, and that the other way is something which is where you lose the best people because you cannot choose. We're still in a process where we can choose and where we, together with the business divisions, find the best solutions for KUKA.
Okay, thank you very much.
Now we maybe come to the last question, operator.
Thank you, sir. We'll take our final question from Stefan Augustin with BHF Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. Stefan Augustin from BHF Bank. Just three quick questions. One maybe is on the free cash flow development of the fourth quarter. Could you elaborate a little bit more on that and especially highlight the drivers beyond the simple balance sheet figures and also give some indication how the free cash flow could develop potentially into 2010. The next is, when do you expect service business to increase in your robotics division? And maybe a question for Mr. Reuter. On his former appointment, could you give us some idea on how much Grenzebach could be willing to let itself dilute in a case of a capital increase?
Okay, first question concerning the cash flow on Q4. Well, you see, because we had the guidance for Q3 is 33. This was the full year actual, and we have guidance between 40 and 50 minus, so this means in the range of minus 7 to minus 17 currently is the range. So what we see today is mainly that we can perform and drive the business on a cash flow break-even perspective without extraordinaries. So what we have included today at least is that we can work on a break-even level with cash flow in the fourth quarter. However, the operating business, we do not expect that it can recover the cash outflow, especially for the gratifications like Christmas money and so on, because of these are significant millions. So these are the extraordinaries we have included in the Q4 cash flow guidance. Concerning 2010 expectation and first ideas on what is possible concerning the cash flow, it's simply too early. As we mentioned before, it was a good question. If we have the new financing structure in place, for sure new instruments are open to us, especially in the area of working capital. So therefore, it's simply too early today to give some ideas on the cash flow development in 2010. I think the main issue for us is 2010. The business has to work in 2010. The P&L performance has to work even if we have no recovery in the marketplace. And also the free cash flow has to work, especially in these times. So this is the low level targets for 2010. Everything that improves situation also then has and can have positive impact on the free cash flow. So sorry for that, but more I cannot tell you today, especially on 2010. Concerning the service business robotics, that's a difficult question. It's mainly depending on the utilization concerning our customers themselves. We know especially on the spare parts area, we know that they have disassembled some robots to use their own spare parts. I think the disassembly story of the customers should somewhat be at the end of the story, and therefore at least the spare parts business should see some recovery. Concerning the normal maintenance services, I think here it's important that the OEMs especially also used in their workforce they have for other issues like maintenance on the robots. So it's difficult to say. It depends on the unit production numbers for next year. It's not clear for me today how the car production runs next year. We know some negative numbers, especially from the small and mid-sized car suppliers, because they do not participate anymore in the so-called Abwrackprämie. Medium and luxury cars normally should be somewhat stable. So I would expect at least no major boost next year in the service business, but it should be a certain improvement, especially in the spare parts business next year.
Okay.
Okay, on the Grenzenbach and my own shares, Grenzenbach 27, I do have 2%. I think we made clear that we don't want to go with the shares are pooled together with 29.2. We will not go beyond the 30, so that's number one. And secondly, we want to stay above the 25. So I think in between the 25 and 29, we are not flexible, but I think a dilution would not be a big problem for Grenzenbach. But that's something where we are discussing at KUKA various options, and I think the same as Grenzenbach doing. Now without me, but I think the corridor 25 to 29 is exactly the corridor where they want to be on a long-term perspective.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, I think we have come to an end. Thank you very much for all the questions. We're quite happy to answer them. If you have further questions left, please call IR. You can find our contact details on the homepage. And with this, we'd like to wish you a very nice afternoon.